On Thursday, the 8th of May, the Isle of Man will remember the sacrifices made during the Second World War. An experienced band has been pulled together for a commemorative concert by Andrew Smith, MHK, who, together with Tony Brown, Dougie Davidson, Don Elliott, Henry Dormer and Noah Parks, join me in the studio.
Obviously, many people know about this commemoration of the end of the World War II in Europe. And during COVID, we were unfortunately not able to celebrate the 75th anniversary quite as people would have expected. And obviously, noting my age, I felt that it was important to at least...
And your age, what, about 45, 50?
Okay, yeah, I've got a well-lived-in face, but I can get away with that sometimes. I thought, well, the 80s, because obviously we normally celebrate and commemorate on zeros and fives and years, and, you know, every year that passes now, sadly, we lose more of the generation that were close to that event. So I thought for the 80th anniversary, we should try and do something, you know, special for the Isle of Man, and because, in fairness, recognising the demographics of the Isle of Man in the day, the commitment that we made to the armed forces was quite significant per capita. So we should never ever forget that fact. So I commenced on this journey of organising what I felt would be an appropriate event. At the time, in fairness, I thought the Royal British Legion would be doing something, but I'd not had actually had contact with them. And as soon as I did make contact with them, they were very excited, I think it's fair to say, that we were doing something. And I said to them right at the outset that I wanted to embrace everything that the Royal British Legion believed in and wished to happen within this event. So consequently, they agreed that we would work together, which we've done, I would say, harmoniously since. I apologise for the musical term. And obviously now we've got the flagship stage on the Isle of Man, and we can really really show our respect throughout this concert, and more importantly the drumhead service, which the Royal British Legion are involved in and which the band will also be playing for this great event to commemorate the 80th anniversary of VE Day.
And you've got someone who knows how to organise things sat next to you.
Hi, Phil. Yes, well, I'm here as the president of the Isle of Man County, the Royal British Legion, a role that I hold now in the Isle of Man. And as Andrew said, I mean, the Legion were putting together a programme to commemorate the 80th anniversary of VE Day, and have been involved in the past in similar things. And it was great when Andrew contacted us for us to actually coordinate, which we have done, and as Andrew says, very successfully, with what is going to be a special occasion to be held on the Villa Marina on the 8th of May in the evening. And of course, there's the beacon to be lit as well. And hopefully, and certainly from what we hear, hopefully the community will come in good numbers to support and to commemorate what was really a major, major event in world history. And of course, our generations and future generations at the moment are enjoying the spin-offs of how the world developed after the end of World War II. And of course, VE Day was the start of that, with VJ Day coming later.
And they say practice makes perfect. So I guess the two gentlemen sat next to you, Tony, you both have quite a bit of practice under your belts. So who have we got?
Well, it's like anything else. You play in a band, and after a while it disintegrates and things like that. I was in an army band for 3 years, and the way this fella's whipping me...
He's talking about Andrew.
But it's lovely to play this music again.
Great. And our final guest for this part of the programme?
Well, first of all, I think Andrew deserves a lot of credit for getting this band together, because when he phoned me up and said I'm forming a big band, I expected it to be a 11, 10-piece, 12-piece big band as we know it, dance band, Glenn Miller. But no, he said he wanted a bigger band. He wanted, so basically, what he's got a military band, a brass band, and a dance band all together, from 16-year-olds to old fellas like Dougie and I. It's been a headache because the rehearsals have been a little bit iffy. But last night we had the best rehearsal with about 28 people there, was it, Andrew?
Yes.
And it's beginning to come together and it sounded really good. The idea of mixing it with the age groups, as Andrew said, is to bring in the youngsters to say, now this is what your grandfathers went through during the war, like, you know. And it's going to be great, I'm sure. I'm sure a lot of people are going to appreciate it. In fact, I've got some people coming over from Cambridge purely to see it.
Oh, that's great.
So I think it's drawing, you know, people together. And I think I wanted to embrace youth because I think that's important in this event, to embrace youth, not only within the musical section, because obviously, as Dougie didn't admit, but he's over 90.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we can say this on air. Dougie won't mind, but we should. Yeah. Don's over 80. And he's now and he can't month. And he's lost his sight.
Yeah.
So Don is really, you know, pushing the boat out to play from obviously his experience in his military career in the Royal Marines, which would play march military music, dance music, etc. So, but then also to embrace the youth, and we'll be speaking to a couple of them later in the program, because and also we've got on the stage on the day we've got a primary school choir who will be narrating. We've got also secondary school students who'll be relating their stories of their great grandparents in the war. So at least we are trying to link and integrate the current generation with the older ones, such as you have here before you today.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is important, and this is one of the roles of the Royal British Legion, apart from supporting veterans and people who've been in service, is actually to ensure that the community as a whole continues to remember the massive sacrifices made in 6 years of World War II. I mean, some 55 million people lost their lives right across the world, of which about three in every five killed were civilians. So it had a massive impact, clearly, on society. I mean, I'm lucky enough not to have lived through that period, as I think most of us are, if not all of us. But certainly, we shouldn't forget the massive sacrifice. And in the Isle of Man, you know, clearly the numbers proportionally were higher of those who served and volunteered very quickly to go and fight in that war.
And I put into that context also, I believe it's important to recognise what's actually happening currently on the edge. We could say it's on the edge of Europe.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's very, very, it is an unstable world that we are very, you know, we're living in. It's very, I would say sometimes it's on a knife edge as to what may happen. So I think we need to be understanding.
And never more important, really, to remember.
Yeah. And of course, worlds can drift into conflict. I mean, you know, it starts small, as it did, in fact, in World War II, and it drifted. World War I was the same.
Yes.
And they drifted into major conflicts which engulfed the whole of the world. Yeah. So, you know, that's important to keep in mind. Of course, also with this special event in the Villa Marina on the 8th of May, it also includes a church aspect of it, where the Archdeacon's been working with us to get everything put in place. So it's going to be a special event, and we hope it's something that not only is enjoyable for all age groups right across our community, but is also an occasion where we can remember and commemorate the sacrifices made by so many people.
And perhaps, Andrew, if we start, and you'll have a chance at the end as well, just to tell people when this is happening and how they go about attending.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, as Tony said, it's at the Royal Hall, Villa Marina, on the 8th of May in the evening, commencing at 7 o'clock. And what will happen is, roughly, and I mean, the time is, we have got some flexibility in the time, and obviously with introductions and music, you've got an audience, hopefully, involvement, you've got to have a little bit of flexibility. But I would suggest that the concert will be an hour or thereabouts, an hour just over, whatever it be. Then there'll be a 10-minute interval, and then the drumhead service, which we will actually build a drumhead service, so you use side drums as you would do in the field. That's how the soldiers and the military used to set up their altar, as it were, to obviously pray and also to commemorate those that were losing their lives in the field. As my mother's first husband sadly never returned. Mm. He was lost in Tunisia, North Africa. So obviously that's what they do, and we'll build that, and that'll be a very one of the poignant moments of the evening, as we've got children again involved to bring in part of the components of that drumhead service. So we've engaged primary school children again for that. And then that will lead into a general commemoration service. So there'll be all the standards there will be processed in, and then we'll have three hymns, and there'll be Bible readings by His Excellency, Lieutenant Governor, and also Chief Minister. And that will then obviously round off the evening, and that will probably be until about 9 or 10 past. We've got, as I said, flexibility. And then the beacon, which again we've managed to agree for it to be lit within the Villa Marina Gardens, and that's to coordinate at about 9:30, I believe, with what's happening across, so that we're all lighting a beacon and commemorating at that particular time, just as we hold minutes and 2 minute silences around the British Isles. We all try to coordinate. So that's what's happening. And tickets are free, and they're available from the Villa box office, but I must admit and comment at the moment that they seem to be going fairly well and fairly quickly. So if anyone is interested to attend them, by all means, we would love to see you there.
I think it's just important to emphasise there what Andrew said about the tickets. You must get a ticket to be able to get into the event. They're free, but you have to get them in advance from the Villa Marina.
And Dougie, I mean, you could probably just about remember VE Day, I guess, based on what was it, Andrew or Tony dropped you in terms of your age?
Andrew.
What do you remember about that time?
Well, when I first started playing in bands on the Isle of Man, there was plenty of bands here. Mm. But over the years, it's gone away, and it's a lovely thing to have a band where people like we have over there, somewhere for them to play. And I just hope it'll stick together.
Well, Dougie, you played in, were you in the Palace? How long were you playing in the Palace?
Oh, gosh, about 9 years.
Yeah.
Every night for 9 years. And I loved it.
Yeah.
But the thing was, you have to say to yourself, okay, I'll get home about 2 o'clock in the morning and getting up about 12 o'clock at night, at breakfast time. Yeah. But it's lovely to the fact that these lads here, I mean, they want to play, and it's a job over the years to find a band. And I just hope he's done it, because I've played with him before.
Yeah.
Quite a few times.
And what is it that you play, Dougie?
A saxophone.
Right.
Mostly,
And clarinet.
Okay.
So I guess from what you're saying, you prefer the saxophone.
Pardon?
You prefer the saxophone.
Well,
do you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
even then, you've got a few different ones, haven't you? You've got little squeaky ones. And
yeah.
But the older instruments have all gone now. Mm. You're all onto modern instruments, really. I mean, I bought, when I was in the army, this was in Germany, I bought a saxophone there because we were on our way home. They didn't pay, you didn't have to pay any things there, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it's still going to this day. It cost me, I think it was £200. Now, £200 for the best, it was the best.
Yeah.
And over those years, like it, as you get older and you get different music, you know, like the music we have here are mostly for the army. Mm. You know, it's that type of, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And the stuff we play, like In the Mood and things, that's good because it's bringing people back what I think is the nice part of music.
Yeah. You don't rate modern music then?
No.
Doesn't hold much out for me being a DJ who couldn't play music.
No, it's what you like. Yeah. I mean, I like this sort of music. And a lot of people, you know, today they're about 10 years old, like those two, about 10 years old. And what's this funny music that people march by, you know? But I'm just glad that you've put an awful lot of work into this. I mean, third time this year we've had it, yeah? And it's his turn to buy the year, the beer next time, so he won't be coming with us.
And Don, if we bring you in, what is your instrument of choice?
Well, basically music has been my life because my parents were Salvation Army officers. So I was born into the Salvation Army and I was given an old battered cornet. When I was five, I was ill in bed at the time and it was taken off me and it came back as a Christmas present, all nicely refurbished, silver plated, the whole lot. So that went with me through my schooling. It also took me into the Marines, which I successfully applied for in the band service. And I joined the Marines at 15 as a cornet trumpet player. They also taught me to play the violin, would you believe? So I played classical music, concert music, dance music, military music, the whole lot. Luckily, I was very fortunate to go to sea at 17 and a half. And by the time I was 18 and a half, I'd been all around the world. Played in front of royalty, presidents, dictators, gangsters, politicians,
handles,
you name it. So when I came out of the Marines, I had to learn a job very quickly in Civvy Street, so I didn't play anything for 6 months. And I was on my way home, stopped in a pub for half a beer, and it was half a beer. And a guy walked in with a bass fiddle, and we got talking naturally, and he said he was a member of the big band, and they're short of trumpet players, would I like to join? So I said, yes, please. I got home, got it, I rinsed it through, the trumpet player started practicing like mad. He met me a week later and I was in the band immediately. It was called the SDO, Southern Dance Orchestra. We played in the Mecca, Top Rank, Southampton Guildhall, Portsmouth Guildhall, Arundel Castle. We played everywhere, for weddings, funerals, functions, British Legion, everywhere we played, all over the south of England. My last gig in England was the Musicians Union annual ball at the Mecca in Southampton. Came over here in 1972. I never played for 10 years. Ivan Towered, who was a great musician, and Dougie, who played with the Ray Norman band, they always said, you know, come and play, but I never had the opportunity. But eventually, Ivan Tower coached me in, and I think Dougie and I have played together for the best part of 20-odd years that we've done it. And thoroughly enjoyed it, not only as a big band member, but also as jazz members, as jazz aces. Reminded me, on the way down, Andrew said, oh, there's a cruise liner in the bay. And I said, yeah, I said, years ago, under Terry Toohey, who was one of the best tourist bosses ever in the Isle of Man, we were on the quay sometimes at 6 o'clock in the morning playing for people to come from the ship onto the island for a few days.
And Terry be there with you.
Yeah. I think they also did. I think that's when the cruise ships came into port. Did they come into Port Erin and
Port St Mary?
Port St Mary as well.
Everywhere, Peel, Port St Mary, yeah. Port Erin. Never Ramsey for some reason. I don't remember Ramsey. Do you? Don't you?
No.
No. Mostly it was in Douglas. And one of the funny stories was occasionally it rained, and I said to Terry, I said, you know, we don't mind a little drop of rain, but we've got to look after the piano and the amplifier with the electrics. Water don't mix. So he said, no problem, I'll get you a tent. So he got us a tent. It was one of these four poster things with a roof over top. So he rang me up the day before we were supposed to come down, and he said, right, he said, the tent is already erected on the quay. So we come down to the quay, where's the tent? Looked across the bay, the tent was over the other side of the harbour. So we never got to use it, did we, Doug? But we had great times in those, great times.
Yeah.
But the thing was, they used to bring the boat in, very early in the morning, you know, and then they'd be coming off. And so we had to be playing, you know, and there was a lot of the times they were American, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
And we'd be there about 6 o'clock in the morning playing somewhere over the rainbow or something. But I must say, they were very good to us. They were. The thing was, over here, you never knew when the next one was going to be, so we had to be ready. And, you know, early in the morning, it was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then the people, and then the people who live along here, they put in a thing to the police about this bloody noise coming from us down there.
Yeah. And the answer was simple: they live near a harbour.
That was the funny part of it. But you know, you had to get up early in the morning, and who's with us? They lived in Peel or something, and he had to get his car in and everything. It wasn't funny, but they used to be, well, once they'd gone away, we finished then, but the people started to complain, and I had a very good friend who lived one of the big houses up here, and he said, if you play that bloody thing again, he said, I'm that tune that you play. I can't remember which one it was. He said, we're fed up of listening to that thing. Can you play something else? Well, by the time you've played something else, they'd gone.
Well, at this stage, we'll bring in the younger element to the programme.
Well, that's me out then.
Hello, I'm Henry Dormer. I play trumpet and cornet at various places, but like Ramseytown Band and like the National Youth Brass Band of Scotland and the Youth Orchestra and places like that. It's given me lots of really good opportunities. And personally, I've really liked playing in this commemoration band, not just for the kind of sentimental value and celebrating this massive event in world history, but also on a personal level, it's really given me opportunities to play in a different style of trumpet music and cornet music as well, which I've never really used before, using different techniques of mutes and stuff. So that's been really good for me.
And I guess working with these boys,
it's a lot of experience.
Yeah. So how much are you gaining from that experience?
Immeasurable amounts. But it's also a different way, because different people really have massive different takes on different techniques in especially in trumpets as well, like how to do stuff and different styles of syncopation and maybe sometimes like slightly different types of mutes are used in different ensembles. It's really interesting how that all works.
And who have you got next to you?
Hello, I'm Noah Parks. I play trombone in this band and various other bands like Ramseytown with Henry. I've loved to play in this band because, like Henry said, it's a much different style to what we're used to. I usually only ever play brass band or like classical music, so I really like getting the experience in a different style.
And have you got an experienced player working with you or...
Not as like experienced as these two gentlemen next to me. But definitely friends, definitely people who have been very helpful with this sort of.
Yeah. It's grandpa, isn't there? My granddad.
Yeah, Henry's granddad, and then there's Jackie Moy as well, plays trombone.
Yeah. And in terms of the experiences these people have, I guess it's more than just the musical side that you'll be learning about. I mean, certainly based on what we've just been hearing, there'll be plenty of opportunity for stories to be told. Are you getting in on any of those?
Yeah, a bit of that. Yeah, it's really interesting.
Some better not tell you.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, certainly it's a fascinating life that I suppose you wouldn't really be that aware of, you know, that when we had a thriving tourist industry up until probably the end of the 1970s, early 80s,
yeah.
There was opportunities for bands and musicians pretty much everywhere and anywhere you looked. Well, it's not quite the same these days, is it?
No, not quite. I mean, there's definitely still opportunities, both here and across in the UK as well. It's not. I don't think it's what it used to be, from what I've been told.
Hmm.
I mean, it seemed, in my head, it seems a very long time away, a time ago, to think like. I mean, my dad was born in the 1970s, so just to think like, you know, he was born in the 1970s, even before that. It's just.
That's far
ancient.
Far too long ago. Is there any questions you'd like to ask Dougie and Don?
Be careful now.
Yeah. What was it like touring the world, playing music basically every day?
It was absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
Absolutely wonderful. You met so many. I was fortunate again. It was 57 when I went to, 1957 when I went to see, and in particular, Africa, Ceylon, which is now called Sri Lanka, and other places, the British people, the colonials, were just about thinking of packing their suitcases and coming back to England.
Yeah.
And when the Royal Navy ships used to arrive offshore or in harbour, all the English people and the French used to line up on the quay, and when we came ashore, you're coming with us for the weekend. You're coming with us for the weekend.
What a welcome.
You know, you're coming for us for dinner. And we were so overwhelmed with kindness and love. It was absolutely a wonderful experience. Particularly, bear in mind, I was only 17 and a half at the time.
Mm.
So, you know, it was absolutely amazing. Amazing.
And
what I would like to say about these two guys who impressed me a lot. I had a teaching spell at the Buchan School in King Bill's some years ago, and I was teaching the youngsters from Buchan School from about six, I suppose it was, until they went to the bigger school, and some of them were gotten quite well. When they got older and they got interested in the opposite sex, it all went end of story. No more practicing.
And
if they did practice, as they got older, they were thinking about going to university, and the trumpet or whatever instrument they were playing went up in the loft, and that was it. And very few people carried on. So I hope these two guys, whatever their future careers are, they will still keep music as a secondary, because it's good fun. You meet a lot of nice people, and on a lot of occasions you can make money as well.
Yeah,
this is a nice income.
Mm. But the
only trouble after you have to pay two lots of taxes.
The thing was, I packed in playing, you know, when you get a bit older, because the band that I had and before that, they petered out. You know, the bands got less and less. You couldn't get a decent piano player till I met him. But the thing was, if you didn't keep going, then nobody was going to play. So about 3 years ago, I packed in and I didn't want to play anymore. People used to say, when are you going to play again? And to be honest with you, I didn't want to, because there was nobody who I could play with, or vice versa. And then I got some fella rung me, I think he lived up at Laxey somewhere, and he said, I want you to come and play with me again, Doug, he said. I said, are you still playing? But he was.
And there's some dark glances going over to Andrew in the corner.
So to be honest with you, I didn't know where my sax was, so it was up in the upstairs, and I got it down and blew it up. And then we played together. Don come and played with us quite a few times, and it started to build itself up a little bit. And then, of course, when I I think I'm a bit too old to do these things because you're not always sure what people want, you know, what sort of music they want.
And from your perspective, talking to the young'uns again now, what do you make of this sort of music? Because it won't be something that's in your familiar repertoire, I guess.
Not exactly. I mean, on us, like, compared to, I mean, maybe compared to, like, the general, like, demographic of our age group now, we're definitely closer because we've done, you know, we played in brass bands and other orchestral stuff, and we have played in, like, we play in a blues band, like a pop band at school, which does like kind of 80s stuff. So we're closer, but we're not. It's definitely another world.
Hmm. But I suppose the difference in the modern age is that with all the various streaming services for music, you can pretty much find anything and listen to anything. So certainly, for most of the 20th century, people listen to the music of the day, whereas you can pick and choose.
Exactly,
really.
It's massive choice. Which is amazing, but it also has hindrances on a live music front.
And what about yourself?
I really like playing in this band. I find it. I love this music. I typically don't get to listen to it often because of our age group, all sorts of other pop music playing on the radio or that sort of thing. But I love this sort of music. This big band, just full music. That's fun to play, but also fun to listen to and dance to. I think it does transcend time. It will never get old. Air quotes.
And have you thought of any other questions you'd like to ask these fellas?
What was like? How did you get into like playing in military bands and stuff? Did you just like ask, or did you like? How did that? I mean, I know these days it's completely different with online, but how did you do that?
Well, in my case, I was playing in school bands, and I was invited to go to Nella Hall in London, which is the a music school, and I was auditioned for the Royal Marine Band Service. Now, I had my cornet with me. I knew all my scales. And the biggest surprise was the musical director who was interviewing me, he didn't ask me to take my instrument out of the case. All he said was, can you play this? And on the piano, he went, da, 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 da. So I went, da, 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 da. He said, that's it, you're in. You've got the ear for the music.
Yeah.
So without even, I was disappointed that I couldn't get it out and play. So I went back home, and eventually I got a letter saying, go and get a medical, you're in, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then after 6 weeks of square bashing, they started teaching you proper music. We had retired professional musicians from big orchestras who were our professors of music, and they taught us every style of music which we were expected to play. For example, in the Marines, obviously we did the military music, we did the marching up and down, the last post and all that sort of jazz. We also played for cocktail parties with a fiddle, violin and a brass section. Sometimes I would go on the brass section, sometimes I'd go on the string section. Another time we would finish that and we'd go on to an embassy or somewhere and play dance music until 1 o'clock in the morning at American bases or any other, any, you know. Normally when you went to a different country, your first engagement was on board ship, where the government invited representatives from the country you were in for a cocktail party, followed by a dinner party, followed by a dance, and they in turn will then invite you to their embassy. So it could be the American embassy, the Finnish embassy, where in Helsinki, where we were one occasion, the Queen attended that. And I would say, with regard to the late Queen, which we played a lot of functions when she has attended, she was the only member of the royal family that came back afterwards. Thank you, gentlemen. Very nice.
That's good. Yeah. And Dougie, how did you get into music?
Well, in a very funny way. My father and mother were Scotties, and anyway, the pals I had, they used to, some of the churches used to have their own bands, and two of my mates, they were playing, they were in the band. And anyway, I used to wait till they'd finished, and then we used to go and get something to eat. And anyway, they said, "Why don't you learn to play?" I said, "Well, my friends play, but I don't know. I haven't got an instrument." He said, "You have now," he said, "because you wait for them." He said, "And then you all go for something to eat, don't you?" I said, "Yes." So this is what they call, I forget what it was, a little brass thing. He said, "Now you do this and you do that." And within probably 5 or 6 months, I could play it better than my mates.
Right.
Yes, true. Honestly, but my dad, being a Scotsman, he says to me, and he used to play anyway, he said, he said, "You'll get no money," he said, "playing in a bloody brass band. I've got you a saxophone." And that was it.
Yeah.
And I went, the job, and it's probably still the same, trying to find somebody to teach you. So what I used to do, wait till the summer come and the fellas used to come from across, and they'd be there for, 2 or 3 weeks. And I sorted them out and said, "Can you teach me to play?" And most of them said yes.
Hmm.
And so I was waiting for Joe Loss to come back again,
right,
so I could get somebody to teach me. And that's how it happened. It was as simple as that.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Just before we move back to the committee, I suppose the question that, I'd be interested to know the answer to from you boys is commemorating something from 80 years ago. Why do you think it's important, particularly in the age which we live, which seems to have a fair amount of uncertainty about it?
I mean, it's definitely important to keep that memory alive, and you don't want, obviously, it was a terrible, not just the war, but also the Holocaust and everything. It's a terrible catastrophe, and tens of millions of people died. So you would never really want something on that scale to ever happen again. So it's kind of part of the prevention of that. But also, it's just remembering that sacrifice and keeping it going for generations. But yeah, it's definitely something that should be fostered.
Yeah, I agree with Henry. I think 80 years ago for me, I'm only 16 years old.
It's an immeasurable amount of time.
It feels like forever away, yeah. And we need to make sure that my generation and future generations don't forget the sacrifice people made and the devastating effects of what happened. I think it's important to remember the lives lost and the fact we won the war.
But also, I mean, the sacrifice in other conflicts since, you know, and on a more modern-day scale, on modern-day conflicts in, you know, Gaza and Israel and Ukraine and all that, all those horrible things which are happening. It's just very good to, we don't want to make it, it's very good to have a example of this is what happens if something gets too big, and then it, yeah, that just kind of a bad omen, really.
Mm-hmm. And leaving this bit of the programme on a high, favourite piece of music that you play in that you're not familiar with?
I think in the mood.
Right. I actually have to agree with him. I do like In the Mood.
I do think Don Solo in the Mood is particularly amazing, but also I just really like, I just really like how it, I know it all sits together and it shows the different sections, and yeah, it's a really nice introduction as well.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Good. Well, the average age of the guests has now significantly increased again.
Just. What's worrying is that Andrew's the youngest.
Well, right. and Andrew, you're not just organising this. You're playing as well, are you?
I could have played.
Right.
But in fairness to for a band of this mix, I said it would be better to have a leader. So I'm actually leading it and leading them all through the various pieces. But I have to say at this point, obviously, the recognising that We only really started this organisation of this event probably about a couple of months, if not 3 months ago possibly. And the band probably formed about 2 months ago. And because of the numbers in the band being committed to other bands, don't forget, and also the good gentleman Dougie and Don coming out of retirement, you know, kind of thinking, well, who's this guy ringing me up? I know we've played together in recent years, wanting me to get my clarinet and my saxophone out of the loft and dust it off, etc. Plus a big thank you to the youngsters that have joined us, and it's not just Henry and Noah, but they've also brought some other of their age group younger people into our band. They're in the middle of exams at this stage, and then plus don't forget it's Guild currently. Guild, everyone, they've been playing in the game. I mean, Noah's playing, and did you do did Henry do solos as well? Henry and Noah have done solos, you know, working for solos in the Guild, and they're doing their exams at the moment, as are other younger members. So what I'm saying is that it's a band that has generated an interest and required additional commitment over and above your normal day life, your work and your schooling, exams, etc. So I think that is incredibly, incredibly, well, I'm incredibly grateful. I can't, you know, I'm saying it so many times because I am incredibly grateful for that commitment of all band members, because they all come from different backgrounds, different family circumstances, and we're just pulling it together. And in fairness, not all members can practice every week. So I think it will come together, and on the night, hopefully, people will understand it's a band drawn from all these parts of society on the Isle of Man, because they've all got one key interest, and that's to play this kind of music and be part of this major commemoration.
Absolutely. And I suppose it's only fair, having given the younger element of the programme the opportunity to say what their favourite piece of music is, if I asked... the rest of the panel. I mean, Tony, I don't know, are you aware what's being played yet? Or
Not all the details, no, but interestingly, I was interested the two young members saying that they liked In the Mood, because an odd time I do for the over 60s, a sort of disco night, and not only for older 60s, but people in their 50s and 60s, and actually In the Mood is one of the most popular still. I mean, it's a fabulous piece of music. Yeah. And all I can say is, you know, this event is special because it's to commemorate 80 years since VE Day. But by making it special, this aspect of it makes it a unique event, because you're bringing together musicians from across the island. And anyone who's heard in the past Don and Doug and their bands play music, and I've been involved with them over a number of years organising events for us where they've come along to entertain. I mean, it's just fabulous music. And so, you know, all I can say to people is, yes, come along, please, and commemorate, but also come and enjoy what is going to be a unique occasion of music. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have really good top people playing, along with the younger generation, who are the top of theirs, I presume. Mm. Or that's why they're in there. And it's just really an Isle of Man event. It's a unique style of event that we are good at doing on the Isle of Man, and it involves the community right across the island, and it's great news. So I hope many people will come along.
Yeah, Dougie, favourite piece of music?
Mm?
What favourite piece of music that you'll be playing in the concert?
I suppose In the Mood.
Yeah.
It's that type of music is what people know, and to play it is very nice.
Yeah.
It's not that difficult, as some people would say, but you've got to get it right. But when you get it right, you never forget it, because it's not going away.
Yeah. And Don, your favourite?
Well, as people of a certain age will also remember a famous band that used to play over here for years and years in the summer season was Joe Loss. Mm. And then Joe Loss' signature tune was In the Mood.
Right.
So a lot of people remember and associate In the Mood with Joe Loss. And Andrew forgot to mention, he also sings with the band.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I have to say, I don't.
Don't want me to sing anywhere, I'll tell you.
That's encouraging news, Tony.
It is.
So what are you singing, Andrew?
I'm keeping that for a surprise, actually.
So oh, right.
I will,
oh, well,
I will
keep
still
quiet,
keep people
then.
In suspense, because yeah. I don't want them to get too excited.
I've asked you what your favourite piece of music is, and everyone has gone for the same. So I'll be a bit mischievous now. And Dougie, is there a piece of music that you that isn't in the concert that you think should be, or that you'd like, or your favourite piece of music outside of what's already been said?
Well, there's so many things that you play, but you know the things that we've been playing are things that have been played for a long time, and people. And when you go to a thing which they're going to, they will know most of those tunes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's one of the things that people like. Oh, that's, well, you know this tune, and you know, and that it's his fault.
And I guess if we played all your favourite pieces of music, it would be the finish time would be well past 9 o'clock, would it?
Why?
And what about yourself, Don? Is there something that you would have liked to play that's
I
not
love
in?
I love all music. But yeah. Can I tell you a little quickie story?
Yeah.
January of last year, a lady from Age Concern rang me up and said, "Can your band play for a function in August?" I think it was, wasn't it? And I said, "We'd love to, but unfortunately, Dougie and I have retired." "Oh, we're very sorry. Can you recommend any other band?" And I said, "Well, there's quite a few available about, but whether they play in your sort of music, I don't know." Anyhow, 6 months later, she rang again and said, "Don, we're in awful trouble. The job is due in a few weeks' time. We haven't got a band yet. Can you be coaxed out of retirement?" So I said, "Well, I'm going to a party in a week or so time. I'll have a word with Dougie and see if we can get a band together." So we got a rhythm section, including Andrew, and we did the function. Now, the reason she wanted us in particular, because there was no other band that played the type of music that her clientele wished to hear.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
But as regards to my own love of music, I like it all. As Dougie said earlier on, pop music is a bit strange to me. The 60s and 80s weren't bad, but today, to me, it's all shout. Oh, yeah. Shout, shout, shout.
Right, yeah, yeah. Andrew, then, just a reminder about how this is all going to work on the night. I mean, I guess you're going to be on edge, a little nervous about making
I'd like
sure
to say
happens.
Clockwork.
Yeah.
But yes, we'll get there, we'll prepare. You know, we'll be there probably an hour before the event, we'll get prepared. Obviously, we've got to set the... We're involved in the technical side as well, because obviously there are screens, we've got to have words on the screen, we've got to have the right monitors, we've got to have the lighting, we've got to do all that, we've got to set the stage for the band. And do all the, you know, we're involved in all the technical things as well. Yes, obviously the Villa Perina staff are very helpful in assisting all that, but what we've got to do, we've actually got to put our stamp on the event, as it were, as to how we want to set the band out. So that'll happen. And then, as I say, as I mentioned in the programme earlier, the event will just run from people who arrive ready for 7 o'clock start, and then it'll just run through the programme, hopefully non-stop. We've got, you know, some soloists, as it's been advertised also on the radio, in Paul Costain, CP, again, has been in the Guild, totally committed, and Nicola O'Connor in the Guild, totally committed, accompanied by Gareth Moore in the Guild. Again, this, you know, so what I'm saying is, recognise, please, for everyone, I know I'm repeating it, but please remember, for everyone, the commitment over and above their everyday life that has been put in to pull this together, to make this commemoration something special for the island and its people.
And Tony, from the Royal British Legion perspective, what are you hoping that you're going to get out of this concert?
Well, I think what we'll get out of it as a community is, in fact, a clear celebration, commemoration of what was a very, very important event in the life of Europe, in the life of the world. It moved on a generation from conflict into a peacetime. And our generation, I mean, we were fortunate that we were never involved in any sort of conflict in that way. And hopefully that continues for many. We all know the world presently is up and down on that sort of thing. But I think what these events do is very much mark in the Isle of Man that we as an island have much to be thankful for. And I think that this helps us to recognise that. And the involvement of all the people that Andrew's mentioned right across the board, I think demonstrates how much our community believes these things are very important. So from a Legion point of view, we're happy to lead on that. We're happy to have the involvement of the churches to be part of what is a commemoration, and to give a bit of a, if you like, concentration on the importance of what it was about. And so hopefully the whole of our community will benefit from just taking time on the 8th of May to remember all those people who lost their lives, both civilians and personnel fighting in the war, and of course how we benefited from that as time moved on.
Don't forget, the concert is this Thursday the 8th at 7 p.m. at the Villa, so get your tickets. I'm Phil Gorn, Gunnar Myerson, Geisha Grun. Thanks for listening.